beginning a study next Lord's Day, Lord willing, on the book of Judges in the adult Bible class. Books will be available for you for that. So I thought to just give a little overview on the book and kind of put it in place. And we'll just be reading through the book of Judges, kind of a self-explanatory when you just read the verses I have listed for you. But first, I want to give you, I was thinking a moment ago, how to put Judges in place or how it fits into the Old Testament picture. If you can kind of follow along. You know, there's a song in our book called I Love to Tell the Story. And that last stanza of that song, I Love to Tell the Story, it begins, I love to tell the story to those who know it best. You seem hungering and thirsting, you know, like the rest. So that's us tonight. I think you, if I just mention a couple things, I know you can fill in the gaps. So let me give you an overview of the events that surround the book of Judges, if I can remember. and you know, this is the Old Testament story. You know, the Bible begins with the physical creation, then the creation of Adam and Eve, we're familiar with that. And then they leave the Garden of Eden. And then the next major event is the wretchedness or the wickedness in the land. And that brings about the story of Noah and the flood. And it rains for 40 days and 40 nights. And the fountains of the deep come up. And so there's a destruction of the people except for the eight that were saved in the ark. Then you have the Tower of Babel. Then the call of Abraham. Abraham is from Ur of Chaldea. Ur of Chaldea is at the southern end of where the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers meet. And they form one river and it flows into the Persian Gulf. God calls Abraham and mentions to him, I'm going to make you a great nation. And I'm going to give you a land. And then one day through your seed, all nations will be blessed. Abraham leaves Ur and travels north around the Arabian Desert, what the section called the Fertile Crescent on maps, and he comes down into the Promised Land. Then you have the major patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they are in the Promised Land. Jacob has 12 sons, as you know. I think I remember them. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Joseph, and Benjamin. So there's the 12 tribes of Israel, the sons. They, as you know, Joseph is sold. I'm going to really give you a Reader's Digest version here. Joseph is sold by his brothers. He ends up in Egypt. Because of a famine in the land of Egypt, all of the brothers in the Promised Land come down to Egypt. Joseph has been elevated to a high position there. Joseph dies in the last chapter of Genesis and the very last verse. Just that's part of the story that I've told you, just now covered 2,500 years of Bible history. When the book, and that includes the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The book of Exodus, begins in chapter 1, with a new king or a new pharaoh in Egypt who did not know Joseph. Because of the Israelites gaining in number, the new king decided to put them into bondage or captivity. God, Moses is born at this time, and he's hidden in the bulrushes because of the pharaoh wanting to kill the newborns, both boys. Moses' mother, because of Pharaoh's daughter, is attendant to Moses. She takes Moses into Pharaoh's household, and Moses is raised there by his mother Jochebed for 40 years. Moses decides to leave the Pharaoh's house and goes back, and he sees a fight between an Egyptian and a Hebrew. He tries in breaking it up. The Egyptian is killed, and Moses has to flee for his life in the wilderness, and he's there for 40 years. After 40 years, God calls him out of the burning bush and sends him back to Pharaoh with Aaron to ask Pharaoh to let the people go. along with the 10 plagues, Pharaoh's finally convinced that he should let the Israelites go. They cross the Red Sea in one of those fingers that are there in the Sinai Peninsula. They go to Mount Sinai, and there they receive the Ten Commandments of stone and approximately 600 other commandments. Then they leave Mount Sinai, they go to Kadesh Barnea, and they spy out the land. And 12 go into the land, they spy out the land for 40 days. The majority said, "We can't take them, we're as grasshoppers in their sight," so they have to wander 1 year for every day they were in the land. So they wander for 40 years. And for that last year, they go around south of the Dead Sea, being led by Moses, and up the eastern side of the Dead Sea, Mount Nebo. Moses dies, having looked over into the Promised Land. Joshua leads Israel across the Jordan. Now we begin the book of Joshua. The first 11 chapters of Joshua are just the battles that Israel fights in taking the land. The last chapters of Joshua is the division of the land. Once the Israelites have settled into the Promised Land, begins the book of Judges. Judges are raised up to obviously judge the people in the Promised Land. Many people describe 15 judges, beginning with Othniel, and the last one being Samuel. But really, Samuel's sons are made judges also, Hophni and Phinehas. But then when the book of Judges ends, the people clamor for a king. So Samuel anoints the first king over Israel as a united kingdom, one king over the whole territory, and that is Saul. Saul reigns for 40 years. After Saul is David, and David reigns for 40 years. After David is Solomon, and Solomon reigns for 40 years. If you didn't know that. After Solomon, when Solomon dies, his story is in 1 Kings chapter 11, and I don't know the verse, the last verses of 1 Kings chapter 11. And so now there is a battle to see who would be the next king over the land, and they cannot decide, so the kingdom divides into the north and the south. Solomon's son Rehoboam becomes the leader of the south, which is named Judah. And there are two of the 12 tribes form the southern kingdom of Judah, and that's Judah and Benjamin. Another man who enters the scene because the people did not want to follow Solomon's son Rehoboam is Jeroboam. Jeroboam becomes the leader of the north, which is named Israel. Jeroboam, in trying to get the people so they would not go back into the south and form a united kingdom, does four different things. And it's in 1 Kings chapter 12, in the last verses. One thing he does, he changes the place of worship, and so they wouldn't go to Jerusalem. And he sets up a place of worship in the city of Dan and Bethel. He also changes the object of worship into a golden calf in Dan and Bethel. The third thing he changes is the priesthood. He makes priests out of those who were not Levites. And then he changed the day of worship. The rest of the kings from chapter 11 and 12 is the story of the kings of the north and the south. Because of idolatry, they send the prophets to them. But in the year 722, Assyria, under Tiglath-Pileser and his son Shalmaneser, come and capture the northern kingdom of Israel. And that is in 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 6. Oh, look that one up. I think it actually says it. Those latter part of chapter 17 and 18 of 2 Kings now. It says several times Assyria came and took the northern kingdom, or didn't say northern kingdom, but took Israel captive, and then they scattered the people. About this time, Babylon is becoming a world power, and Babylon makes their journey north across the Arabian desert and takes Nineveh, which is the capital of Assyria, and then marches on toward the Promised Land. And in the year 606 to 586, for 20 years, Nebuchadnezzar has three different raids on the southern kingdom of Judah. And he takes those captives back to Babylon, along with, you know, the story of Daniel and others. And he takes the ark. And then, by the way, that's the last time the ark is mentioned, and that is in 2 Kings chapters 24 and 25. You read about Nebuchadnezzar's battles against Judah. And so he takes them captive, and they are held captive in Babylon for 70 years. After Babylon, the Medes and the Persians come into power, and that's the story of the handwriting on the wall with Belshazzar. And so the kingdom is going to be over, Babylon is going to fall. And so Darius the Mede and Cyrus the Persian come in and take over Babylon, and they become the power known as the Persian Empire. Cyrus is the Persian king, and his story is in Ezra chapter 1. And it actually, in Cyrus, grants permission for the people who have been held captive to go back home and rebuild the walls of the city. Nehemiah rebuild the city itself and the temple with Ezra, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and Zerubbabel. That's a ministry team that help out in the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. So then now it's the year 536, so they all go back to the promised land, or to Jerusalem. And Cyrus' decree in Ezra chapter 1 is actually recorded in those verses. And in Ezra chapter 2, it lists all the people that are going back. It's a long chapter, but it lists all the people. That ends the Old Testament story, the recorded story. Obviously, after Persia, the next giant empire is Greece, and that's the story of Alexander. When he dies, his kingdom is divided under his four generals because he didn't have children. And then the next empire is Rome. And Rome comes into Palestine and takes over Pompeii in about the year 60 BC to quell the disturbance between the Maccabees and the Greeks. So then Rome takes power, and the first Herod the Great is set up to rule. So that's the Old Testament story. So now we're going to go back. Rewind back to where the Israelites are in the promised land after Joshua takes over the book of Joshua, and then now the book of Judges. And now we're going to read about these judges in this book. I've just listed several things on your notes, and I know I'm not going to read everything on that left-hand column because time won't allow, so I might do some reading, finish it up next week. On the right-hand column, you have all of the judges that are listed in the book of Judges and 1 Samuel. So let's take a look at the book of Judges, and you'll see how the story goes, why are there so many judges. So the story picks up in Judges chapter 2, and so I'm going to read these. You can follow along. I have the book that's in the pew, just to go if you want to use that one, so you follow how I'm reading. This is the New King James Version. I think that's the pew Bible that's there. All right, so here's the story of the judges. And you're going to find that God would raise up a judge. The judge would go bad, or the people would go bad, and so God would bring in another nation and take them captive. Then the people would become so upset, and they would cry out to God, deliver us. God would raise up another judge, would deliver them, and now they're back in God's favor. And then they go back to idolatry. God sells them out again, and they cry out, God, deliver us. God raises up another judge, and now everything's good and dandy. That happens 15 times in the book of Judges. That's why there's so many judges. Here's the story. Judges chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. I'll keep my eye on the clock. So then the angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim and said, here's the angel of the Lord talking, I led you up from Egypt, brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I'll never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you've not obeyed my voice. Why have you not obeyed my voice? Why have you done this? So therefore, verse 3, I also said, I will not drive them out before you. They shall be thorns in your side, but their gods shall be a snare to you. So it was, when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. All right. Now chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. So Joshua died. That's the book before Judges. When he was 110 years old, they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres, in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. You wonder why we retell the Bible story over and over again? Every generation. Verse 11. So then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, served the Baals. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. They bowed down to them. They provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord, served Baal and the Ashtaroths. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them. God sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity. As the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, they were greatly distressed. Verse 16, here's the key in the start of the book of Judges. Verse 16, chapter 2. So nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hands of those who plundered them. Yet, they would not listen to their judges. They played the harlot with other gods, bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. When the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groanings and because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. It came to pass, and here's the story that we're going to be reading. Came to pass when the judge was dead, they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers, followed other gods, served them, bowed down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Wow. So that sets the stage for the book of Judges. So judges are ruling the people, but they went after the other gods, which God said, don't do that. So God, as they said, will raise up a judge to deliver you. And when you don't listen, or when the judge dies, you don't listen to the judge, God delivers them back into the hands of the enemies. So here the story continues. Chapter 3, verse 5. Is that right? Right. Chapter 3, verse 1. But I'm going to pick up verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. So thus the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Remember, they didn't move them all out of the land. Verse 6. They took their daughters to be their wives, gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God, served the Baals and Ashtaroths. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He sold them into the hand of the Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. So God sold them out. And the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Othniel is the first judge in Israel. Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He judged Israel. He went out to war. The Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. So the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. The children of Israel, verse 12, chapter 3. Children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 14. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, left-handed man. By him, the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. So now Ehud is the next judge. And verses 30 and 31, still in chapter 3. Another few minutes. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel. The land had rest for 80 years. After him was Shamgar, son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. And you'll recognize the next ones. Chapter 4, beginning of verse 1. Now when Ehud was dead, remember this was the story? God raises up a judge, delivers them. When the judge dies, they go back to idolatry. God brings in another nation, takes them away. They cry out, God help us. God raises up a judge, delivers them. And when that judge dies, they go evil again. God brings in another nation. You're getting the picture, I hope, right from the reading. So here's chapter 4, beginning of verse 1. Ehud was dead. Children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. For 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. No, Ehud's dead. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebadoth, was judging Israel at that time. There's Deborah. She would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. His children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinadab, from Kedesh in Naphtali, said to him, so now you have Deborah and Barak together. So she said, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun? So now we have Deborah and Barak delivering the children of Israel. And that takes up the whole next couple chapters. So the next one's in chapter 6. Verse 1. Children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Oh, again. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Wow. So who's going to deliver them now? Now the Midian's taken over. Chapter 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon, next judge of Israel, Gideon, he was threshing wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Angel Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And so then you get the story of Gideon. And you're familiar with that. So let me see, verses 11. Okay. And you know the story of Gideon. I'm going to read four more chapters for you. I'm just giving you the names of the judges in that same scenario every time. you know, God sells them out. God help us. Here's a judge. Oh, thank you, God. The judge dies. They go bad. Captive. Help us, God. God raises up another judge. Delivers them. Judge dies. Let it go bad again. 15 times in the book of Judges. Chapter 8?
Number 7. Abimelech.
Okay. So, and his story is in chapter 9. There we go. Oh, and I'll just read the end of chapter 8. Judges chapter 8. And then we'll stop here. So it was as soon as Gideon was dead. Remember, that's the story. As soon as Gideon was dead, children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals, made Baal-berith their god. Thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side.
Wow.
Nor did they show kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, or Gideon, in accordance with the good he had done for Israel. So Gideon dies. So chapter 9, verse 1. Then Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem, to his mother's brothers, spoke with them and all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, please speak in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. Here's what they wanted to have said. Which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal reign over you, or that one reign over you? Remember that I'm your own flesh and bone. His mother's brother spoke all these words concerning him in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. And their heart was inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he's our brother. So, we'll stop. So next Lord's Day evening, Lord willing, we'll...
Not next week. Next week's the singing.
For the songs. We'll do the songs and the scripture reading and like we do on Sunday, but then I'll just do this. I'll just use these verses of the scripture. Okay. Now you're getting an idea what the book of Judges is all about. Right before the kings. I always, we mentioned on Sunday evenings, or when we assemble, we offer an invitation. If one is not a member of the New Testament church, you have that opportunity to obey that gospel good news message, or even use this occasion to ask brethren to pray with you for you, a situation that may exist, one that we haven't recalled or made mention of. Now would be the time to do that. So let's stand, sing the song that did it for us. That's your desire, resolve.